my goodness, oh my goodness. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Muffed Movies Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We're here. We're going to have a good time. Now, if you've never seen or heard Muffed Movies before, it is a podcast where we take your favorite films and we improvise them, parodying them, using only our memories, some wacky voices, and some tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny notes. Now, tonight we are doing Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 1. So anybody expecting the full story of Dune, sorry, buddy, you gotta learn that in the movie theater.
We'll be here for 8 hours.
So I'm your host, Mark Soloff, but I am not the special thing tonight. The special thing is our special guest host improvisers. Now, you've seen this Chicago comedy improviser doing Batsu, Edgar Allan Poe Prov, and Starship Edsel right here at Otherworld Theater. She's sharper than a gom jabar and spicier than a sandworm dipped in da bomb liquid insanity. Give it up for Kelsey Blackwell! And then, of course, I would be remiss in not introducing our next improviser. She can be seen on YouTube, on the wildly popular YouTube channel, Relatable Nerds.
Wildly.
Also on the podcast of that very same name, and you can see her live performing improv right here in Otherworld Theater at Portal Prov on Sunday nights. She is a Lady Jessica in the streets and a Duncan Idaho in the sheets. Give it up for Ilsa Morales! Sorry, Ilsa.
Yeah,
this is awesome. Now, good banter, everybody. Good banter. Since we don't have a soundtrack per se, we are gonna have.
It sounds like that. That was just a silly little improvised sound, but
we are gonna have a moment of audience interaction. Whenever we say the word sandworm, we're gonna do a kind of special Hans Zimmer-esque thing. So people who have lower voices, when we say the word sandworm, I want you to go. And if you have a higher voice, or you just want to, when we say the word sandworm, you're going to go, ha! Much like in the soundtrack. Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, sandworm.
Ha!
So now let's.
That was perfect.
So I feel like.
Just like the movie.
It sounded just like the movie. I got goosebumps.
I feel like I'm in a Witcher video game. Are you ready to improvise Dune Part 1 by Denis Villeneuve?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Ready.
Then we shall begin in our customary fashion with a Star Wars-esque star crawl. Dune Part 1. It is a time of great turmoil for the galaxy. The evil Baron Harkonnen has ruled the planet of Arrakis with an iron fist, subjugating the native population, the mysterious and mystical people known as the Fremen. But the Padishar Emperor, the Emperor of the known universe, has a decree in mind which will change the balance of galactic power forever.
Smash cut! We begin our scene on planet Caladan. We're at the breakfast table of the noble Atreides family. Paul Atreides is eating his breakfast. He's having his little toasted flakes. And he goes and he gazes at his mother, who's at least 5 feet away from him at the same table.
Hey, mom. I was thinking, like, maybe when I graduate from Prince College or whatever I do, maybe I could be like a space pilot.
No, Paul, that sounds very stupid.
Oh.
Why don't you just do what I want you to do and, you know, be a Bene Gesserit like your mother?
Well, Mom, you're a Bene Gesserit, which, as we all know, is like a secret, mysterious order of women that is doing like a genetic breeding program to try to breed the, like, Messiah.
You're really not supposed to know about that until about an hour in.
Oh, sorry, Mom. I'll
it's
just
a big shock to you, actually, later. But
oh, wait, you know what's a shock? I just ran out of fur whale flakes, which we eat on planet Caladan. Could you pass me more of those that breakfast cereal I really like? It's like 10 feet away from me.
Mind your manners, Paul. Don't ask me for something. Demand it from me.
Oh, Mom, shucks. You don't want me to use that Bene Gesserit trick, the voice, do you?
you've been practicing, demand it from me.
Okay. It's embarrassing.
So Paul Atreides starts getting his mind focused for manipulation, the way he usually deals with his mother. Gives her a little tiny vision, and she kind of like briefly imagines herself maybe grabbing for the cereals. And then back to...
A little bit of elevator music is playing.
Not quite, Paul.
Nosebleed.
That wasn't even a good try at all. Oh. You're not even trying.
I'm trying, Mom. I'm just not focusing. Oh. Paul sets down his magic spoon that's translucent colored or whatever and focuses real hard on that box of fruity whale flakes.
He's never getting these whale flakes from me.
Give me the whale flakes.
I must give them whale flakes.
Oh, Jessica.
Wait. Okay. Oh.
Lady Jessica is propelled beyond her faculties and hands the cereal over to Timothée Chalamet, a.k.a. Paul Atreides.
Oh, my goodness. That was pretty good. Not bad this time. Here's your whale flakes.
Thanks. Paul high-fives himself. Smash cut. Two, the landing pad outside of Castle Atreides on the planet Caladan. Oh, it's raining. Water is everywhere. People are just like throwing tubs of sweet, sweet water on the ground because it's like worthless there.
There's so much greenery all around. A big giant egg-shaped like spaceship kind of descends down and people come out.
All them wearing masks. To see what is about to go down.
Some of them look vaguely like stormtroopers for some reason.
Yep. It's fancy politician people and courtiers in the Landsrat Council. They've showed up to deliver a future scroll, which is written on blue crystal paper. Being a representative of the Padishah Emperor, I present you Duke Leto Atreides, a.k.a. Oscar Isaac, this writ of decree that you must take over control of Planet Dune, and the House Harkonnen is shit out on its tits.
Duke Leto Atreides and his group of all racially ambiguous-looking dressed people kind of look forward and don't say much. They're just kind of staring stoically. But then he steps forward and he says very sexily. He's a very sexy man. He says, oh, yes, there's not a single thing that the Atreides don't do when they're told to do it directly. So we're going to do it without question. We're going to do what you say. We're going to take over Arrakis.
Yes,
the powerful leader.
Yeah. I've heard the Atreides family is famous for being subs, stands, and I don't know.
Simps.
Thank you. It's Simp City over here. Anyway, lick my boots and then I'll be off.
Paul Atreides looks at admiration with his father for being so subordinate and leadery. And Duke Leto then takes a surprisingly long amount of time to put his ring on the seal, making it official.
It's almost as though he's sealing his own fate with the seal of his ring. You guys,
some heavy-handed exposition here.
Visual metaphor, anyone?
Then we smash cut to the training room. Gurney Halleck, a.k.a. Josh Brolin and his big face, spar with young Paul Atreides. Ooh.
Hey, boy. Hey, look at me.
I didn't see you there. I was just sulking.
Are you aping my voice, Paul Atreides? Don't you know that I lost the ability to have a gentle voice in the Harkonnen Wars?
I realize that you've been through a lot, but I've had a cushy life, and I just don't feel like fighting right now.
Well, guess what, Buttercheeks? It's time to fight, because Harkonnens aren't going to give you the peace of mind to attack you honorably. They're going to sneak up at you while you're in the bathtub, just like this.
Just like that, Gurney Halleck throws his spear right at Timothée Chalamet's calf, missing him by a scotch.
Ooh, a scotch. I better activate my personal shield unit. Wow. Both men turn on their shields, which is like, it protects you if anything fast is coming, But if anything slow comes, it does nothing.
Certain death. It will kill you if it is suddenly slow.
Or
at your
neck. It just keeps trying to get in there.
Yeah, persistence or slowness. So, like, in the future, they don't use guns, they use swords, and they attack each other real slow-like.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sloth is
shield
the noble
power.
Warrior.
It's the noble fighting. Oh, back to the fighting. So the Paul Atreides is like, hey, old man. Hey, you old guy who's old. You're so old. You're super old. Oh, watch out, old guy.
That hurts my feelings. Yeah.
They fight. They fight. And then they score almost. Paul gets him in an almost hold.
Cork.
Yeah, he's got him. He's got him under his knife. And he says, I got you.
Yeah. You would have got me if I hadn't got you first. Gurney Halleck points down, and Paul notices a tiny note protruding from his pocket. He slowly pulls it out, and it says, you're dead, motherfucker. When Paul looks back up, Gurney Halleck's blade is right in between his eyes. Never let your guard down for reading.
Ah, jeez. I guess I wasn't in the mood for all this, like I previously mentioned. But since you've just pushed me on it, here we are. Well, tell me more about these Harkonnen people, old guy.
Let's just smash cut to Planet Kitty Prime, where we meet the Harkonnens. Baron Vladimir Harkonnen. He's enjoying himself in his sauna with, yes.
I enjoy my sauna.
He's got some friends there with him. Oh, a weird friends. Little guy, Peter DeVries, who's a weird little Mentat man.
Hello, I'm a Mentat.
A Mentat is like a human computer because they don't trust computers.
Yes, only some certain people can do it, except I'm a bad one. Nobody knows this, but I'm actually addicted to the spice, which is why I'm here working for the Harkonnens.
Indeed, but that's not all who's there. Raban, or Drax the Destroyer, is also in the room, and he's pretty upset.
Hey, Peter DeVries, how come we had Dune, and then the Emperor made Dune go to the other guys, the simp colony? How come? Well, Harkonnens, we should be able to fight them.
Well, you shouldn't be so sure all the time that it's a good thing they're going to Arrakis right now. That might be a punishment of some kind.
I don't understand it. That makes me mad and fighty. Uncle! Uncle!
Raban runs over to his uncle's sauna zone.
Yes?
The Baron is just naked in his sauna, constantly naked and so sweaty, and he looks down at his nephew, Raban.
Why goon take more treaties?
Because young Drax the Destroyer, some gifts are not really gifts.
Drax has a moment of enlightenment, and he considers joining a monastery.
He almost has a full thought. And then we smash cut to the middle of the night in the castle of Caladan outside of a conference room. Lady Jessica has Dr. Yeu. Dr. Yeu is here.
Dr. Yeu!
Dr. Yeu! So Dr. Yeu walks up and he's checking on Paul.
Yes, that's right, Dr. Yue. Make sure you check all of my son's vital signs. He needs to be as fit as a fiddle, even though it's the dead of night. I just got him out of bed, and we don't believe in computers, so you need to, like, feel him up and make sure his chi is correct or whatever.
Dr. Yue, why did you just wake me up out of the middle of the night to touch my ears?
I have empath powers, and I must touch your I have to touch your face right now. I have to touch... Oh, yeah, It's looking good. It feels like... All right, your vitals are fine.
Dr. Yue cuts his finger on the sharp cheekbone of Timothy Chalamet. Oh.
Just blood everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry about
again.
That.
It's okay. This happens every time. I should have worn my special gloves. I should have put my shield on first.
Okay, Yue, that's enough of you. Scamper back to your shithole.
The most loyal doctor we have.
Now, Paul, I'm going to send you through the doors of that creepy conference room, and what happens in there, it needs to be absolutely secret from your father. There's going to be a person in there, and she's going to do things to you, and you cannot resist her. You must do exactly as she says. Don't embarrass me, Paul. She's my real mother, which is not in the books, but is in the books that the son of the author wrote.
What are you asking me to do with my grandma?
It's like hazing.
Smash cut to the interior of the conference room. Reverend Mother, whose name is Gaius Helen Moheim.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. She's seated in her little seat, in her big empty library with not much in it, and she waits for Paul to enter.
It used to be a Halloween city, but like it's the off season, yeah. So she's occupied. There's like a cardboard skeleton in the corner.
Yeah, she's wearing one of the old witch costumes.
It's
yeah.
Spooky. Yeah, she's really just one of those like machines, those animatronic machines. If you like press the button, there's like,
not in the room at all.
Whoa, what? I'm missing my sweet dream slumber to come in here and talk to you, you old bag.
That's no way to treat me. Lady Jessica, get out of here.
Okay, I shall not fear, I shall not fear, I shall not fear.
Mama?
Lady Jessica slams the door behind her, leaving her only child at the mercy of Reverend Mother Helen Moheim.
Timothy Chalamet, get over here right now.
He is voiced over onto his knees in front of the Reverend Mother. Oh, speaking of voice, for Paul Atreides, voice choice.
Paul Lind?
Wait, who?
Paul Lind. I think I have a kind of bastardized Paul Lind. He was on, what, Celebrity Match Game or something. Is there any celebrity or character that anyone else in the room knows?
Oh, wait.
Mr. T.
Ooh.
Interesting. That one.
Yeah.
I know. I heard a Sean Connery out there.
A Sean Connery. As someone who looks like me, I know Mr. Yeah. T's popular voice. I just feel it's inappropriate of me to do him.
Well, you're uncanny looking like Sean Connery right now.
Thank you.
This is a visual outlet, but let me just let everyone know that Mark is looking exactly like Sean Connery.
Yeah, for you listeners at home tuning in, middle age has not gone well for me.
All right, Mother, Reverend Gaius Moheim. What test do you have before me? Ha!
Put your hand in my box.
She presents her lady box right in front, center, ready for a hand to enter.
Well, now, you might think this is a test, but I'm actually quite skilled at this part.
Paul Atreides sticks his hand in the GameCube that the Reverend Mother has placed in front of him.
Then, whoop, whoop, ooh, but what is that?
What? What have you done to me, devil woman?
Yes. This is a Gamjabar, and it's against your neck. And if you take your hand from my box before I'm ready for you to take your hand out of my box, I'm going to poison you with my stick.
Oh, it's a deadly weapon, I see.
Sure.
Whatever.
This is to prove that you're human and not an animal.
Lady Jessica is outside of the door just saying, there's nothing to fear except fear itself and maybe like extreme pain and death, but she doesn't mention that, just the fear again and again. Yeah. We cut back to the conference room.
All right, this box feels fine, a little dry. Ooh, ow, ow, is there something in there? Ooch, ow, it's starting to feel a little tingly. Oh,
prickly.
What is this? Ah, garg!
It's my box! But Paul ends up enduring the pain, and he triumphs, and the Reverend Mother removes the Gamjabar from his neck.
Oh, that was the longest 5.5 hours of my life. Was it good for you?
That
Smash
was...
Smash guy!
To the exterior of the castle landing pad, Lady Jessica and Reverend Mother are walking to the Bene Gesserit spaceship. All the Bene Gesserit appear to be wearing big black, garbage bags.
Oh, yes, garbage bags.
Outside. Yeah, and it's like raining. Hefty bags?
Yes, hefty bags.
This is their religious garb. So they walk out to this spaceship, but then they're having a little walk and talk, little exposition moment.
Lady Jessica, you've really twisted my tits around on this one because you've bared a male child and we Bene Gesserit are supposed to bear female children until we're ready to produce the one, the Messiah child.
Listen,
the Kwisatz Haderach.
I know that it's the future and we haven't yet solved sexism, but listen, it's not my fault. My husband wanted a male and so I provided it for him.
You
what?
Know as well as I do a Bene Gesserit can manipulate the internal workings of her fallopian tube
to tear so dicks
what?
And
I
balls
have a bomb
off of
ass
the-
pussy. So what? Listen, I know that we've been fighting for this and working on this genetic stuff for thousands and thousands of years, but I do believe that my son, my Timothy Chalamet, my little Wonka, is going to be the one. Who wins it all.
The one who wins it all?
Yeah. That's what I said.
Quiznos Haberdash.
Quiznos Haberdash. Yes. Well, I hope you're right for your sake, Jessica. Mm. Because if he's a powerful man who isn't the one,
Yeah, that would be awful.
Yeah.
What, you have so little faith in me?
Yeah.
In my choices?
Yeah.
When it gets to your wishes?
Yeah.
Ah, jeez. Okay, well, get out of here.
Okay, bye.
So Moheim blasts off in her spaceship, and then, Lady Jessica turns around, and Paul was eavesdropping the whole time.
50 feet away from her, like, over distant in the fog.
Naughty, naughty.
Well, well, well. Do you have something you'd like to say to me, Mother?
Oh, you weren't supposed to hear any of those things because we were in the shadows, literally, away from you.
Do you know light and sound are two different things?
Hmm. Yes.
Only the one could have taught you that science. So, Mother, I'm miffed at you because you've been using me as some sort of genetic token.
What, you're mad that you're some weird science experiment and
yes,
your whole life has been contrived?
Yes.
You should be so lucky, young man. You're the one. Anyway.
I guess I am taught to be a simp by my father, so I'll take that and thank you for it.
Look down at your feet again.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Okay.
Smash cut! Spaceport in Arrakeen. The Dune's capital city. The Atreides have finally arrived, and it's a whole big thing. They have all of the people of Arrakis outside.
It's a big parade. They've turned the river green for this event.
Oh my gosh. They filled the sand with rubber ducks.
Yeah, there's a person painting children's faces. There's a, like, really unhappy elephant just, like, in a cage that's kind of too small for it. It's sad,
it's awful.
But, you know, I mean.
There's, like, 47 clowns coming out of an ornithopter. It's just, it's wild. It's mayhem. It's fun.
Yeah, Rob Zombie is there playing a short set, which is cool. It's very nice of him to
it's
show
really
up.
It's really cute. And then they're about to drop the ball when it looks like there's some people of Arrakeen, and they're saying,
"Hey, Lisan Al Gaib! Hey,
Lisan Al Gaib!
Lisan Al Gaib! Hey, Lisan Al Gaib!
Mother, what are they yelling at us? And what does that mean?"
Name's not Lisa, bro.
Oh, Paul, don't you understand? Those people are saying Lisan Al Gaib.
What does that mean?
In their native tongue, it's the Messiah. Oh. They believe you are the one that will set them free from the chains of bondage to these colonial forces that own their planet. And guess what? Whoa. The Bene Gesserit, a million years ago, made up that whole religion for them to believe, just so we could come in and be all cushy and taken care of. Pretty smart! Lady Jessica high fives
herself.
You know what?
So that makes
something
me feel
that was. So something that was made up thousands of years ago is what I thought was really cool, but now it's not cool at all? Is this what he sounds like?
Well, not for long. Voice choice. What's Paul Atreides sound like?
Bart Simpson.
Hey, which one you got?
I don't know what those
are you aware of Bart Simpson? Of the oeuvre of Bart Simpson?
You sound like this.
And what does Skeletor sound like? You know what, ladies' choice? It's up to you, dude.
He sounds like, Yeah, I could do that.
I'm scared to eat my shorts.
All right.
Okay.
Eat my shorts, yeah. All right.
Oh, that feels nice.
Ooh.
Eat my shorts. Okay, anyway, Paul, it's I, your mother, Lady Jessica. We've discussed how they think you are the Nissan Al Gaib.
I don't want to be a sedan, mother.
How do you feel about this? Aren't you excited that these people will think that you're like their Jesus?
No, because you made it up a long time ago.
What if you could be the Jesus, my son?
I don't want to be Jesus. I want to be a pilot.
Oh, boy.
Smash cut to the interior of the Atreides Palace in Arrakeen.
Yeah.
Where we're holding auditions for the housekeeper. Lady Jessica is walking up and down this bunch of women. who are all women, trying to be the housekeepers. This is extremely, like, gender-specific. Like, even though it's the year, what, 10,091 or something?
It was written That's in the true. 60s, which is That's where true. The sexism
It's the optimistic
blossoms.
View of the future.
Yeah. In the future, women can... Yeah. Women can be housekeepers. Amazing.
Oh, that's but great. In the back, there is a guard who's also a woman.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a Harkonnen
Another
spy?
Woman.
It could be. I don't know what she's doing over there.
Lady Jessica starts walking down the women, looking them up and down, very cursory glances. She looks at the first one. I don't know. Second one, I guess. No. Second one. Oh, let me guess. You have a great personality.
I studied at Tisch.
Oh. She looks and she sees a woman who's like very clearly a Fremen due to her blue eyes and Chris knife that she's concealing.
Yeah, what are you looking at? Clear eyes.
I shall be saving your people. My son and I. Do you believe in the prophecy?
The prophecy. Yeah, I believe in the prophecy.
Oh, you believe in the prophecy?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I'm aware that you're brandishing a knife right now.
What?
I can see it popping out of your dress.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, I brought a knife in. I was going to knife you if you was some sort of colonizer, but you know about my religion.
Ah, yes.
Wow, you're like a savior, but white.
Yes, yes, there aren't many of us out there.
Wow, I will be honored to work for you, my lady, and learn your simpish ways.
Yes, I shall teach you my ways, and we shall deliver you to freedom, because we are the makers of the...
Whiskey, yes, the Maker's Mark.
Makers, we're the Maker's Mark.
We call the worms here on Planet Dune makers.
Oh.
You might have heard of them, the sandworms.
Nope, never heard of them. Never heard of a sandworm in my life.
Yeah, me neither. I'm just busting your tits. All right.
Very tit-focused tonight, I'm sorry. Smash cut. To housekeepers, to Paul's bedroom in his new dusty, dry Arrakis palace. We see young Paul Atreides sitting on his bed watching an educational video about Dune. It's like a holographic 3D imaging video, so pretty cool.
But all he really cares about is the little field mouse that's like in between the dry grass. And he's kind of like super into that. And the only thing that can take away what he is like staring at about this little field mouse is a hunter seeker drone that has sneaked into his room.
Excuse me, Mr.
The hunter seeker is very polite. Hello. And he's not very unassuming. He kind of looks like a little guy, just like a little dude. He's just kind of like, ooh, I just kind of made a little hole in the wall, and now I'm just gonna and then he's feeling for movement in the room. So then Timothy Chalamet turns around and he starts to notice it. He starts to get slow. I guess if he's flight or freeze. He's a freeze guy.
Yeah.
He's descendant of goats, so he instantly knows that he must be still.
Oh, I wanted to play with you. I wanted to stick my little sticky nose in you and poison you to death. I mean, play.
I hope nobody walks in the door right now.
Ah, geez, time to change your linens.
Just then, the tiny little hunter-seeker bug-looking thing goes... That's right. And then it almost kills the housekeeper.
Oh, my God.
But it doesn't.
Don't
it
worry. Doesn't. I got you.
Paul Atreides manfully snaps up that little death cicada in his hand, and it sparks and clicks.
Whew. Talking about a close call. Good job, Paul Atreides.
Thank you. Smash cut to an ornithopter flying in the desert.
Real quick, for those uninitiated, an ornithopter is a helicopter that looks like a dragonfly because it's the future
and you can't trust computers.
It's real cute, and it doesn't quite appear like it would be as practical as maybe what we already have right now, because the wings are just so, they go out so far.
They have to move so fast.
They frequently fall off, like parts of the wings throughout the movie just kind of come off, and there's all these issues. But nevertheless, they persist.
Of course. It's an apple ornithopter.
It's an apple ornithopter.
I mean, they don't have computers anymore. Obsolete. So.
Yeah.
Hello. I am Dr. Liet Kynes. I'm a planetologist. As you know, I am sent by the Emperor to look over the planet of Dune and study it. And so you royal people coming in and just shitting all over the place with your palace and putting plants in the ground, heedless of the ecology, I have to give you a tour of the spice fields. As we all know, spice is the most important element in the galaxy. It makes our spaceships run or something like that. It also gets you really, really high when you're at a discotheque and have a little spice. You know, anyway, if you look over there, you will see a spice harvester.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It's me, Leto. Yeah, Duke Leto. I'm wondering where your loyalties lie, because you're a planetologist, but then you also appear to be Fremen, so are you spiritual or are you scientific?
I mean, I would say I'm not religious, but I am spiritual, you know?
Right.
Like, I do a juice cleanse every once in a while. But I pretty much got to do what the Emperor says, because the Emperor outweighs you. He's 200 pounds. And
no, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, and you're...
Hey, it's me, Gurney Halleck, in the back. And I'm really, really confused by everything that's going on here this whole entire time.
I have a lot of questions so that we can get this exposition out.
Gurney has Paul in a headlock in the back.
That's the only thing I understand is fighting. I'm sorry. I love you.
We just keep fighting. We just keep fighting. I'm not in the mood.
I don't understand the spice thing.
Oh, no. So, as you can see, just three clicks to the southwest, it's a gigantic, ravenous sandworm. Whoa.
Excellent. There's a gigantic sandworm. Oh my gosh, it's massive. The damn thing is going into the sand. It's going up and down. It's making everything vibrate, she says.
Oh no, it's doing the worm.
They see a magical spaceship show up, a carry-all, which is designed to pick up the harvesting vehicle and fly it to safety. Mm-hmm. The carry-all lands. It shoots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 anchor arms like Dr. Octopus into the harvester's back. The harvester goes, ow! But...
You've done this before.
Arm number 6 is wearing a Mickey Mouse glove for some reason and just poonks right off the back of the harvester. It cannot make contact.
Sir, this is carry-all number 1. We cannot pick up the harvester.
We have to have a save the cat moment. We need to show ourselves saving these people who are trying to harvest all of this spice.
That shall... Turn the camera on. Make sure that this is going out to all of the citizens of Arrakis
I'm live now. We're going to do a live video.
Like and subscribe, everybody. Subscribe.
All right, heroically, let's go in. Let's save these people. It's me, the Duke.
Yeah, Duke Oscar Isaac. Dangerously flies the ornithopter down to the ground. He lands. They see the worm closing in. It's going super fast. And he yells to his son, Paul, get out there in the sandstorm and get those spice miners into my plane.
Okay, Daddy, here I go.
Okay, do it.
Oh, ooh, what is this sparkly? Oh, my God.
Paul's all distracted. He suddenly forgets all of his training and everything he's been learning.
Paul Jack Skellington
snorts everything around him. Whoa!
He starts having wild hallucinations. Yeah. It's like that year at Bonnaroo all over again.
God.
Paul has a spice
Zendaya.
Trip.
Zendaya! Whoa!
You see Zendaya, the actress model from Dune. But we don't know her name yet.
You're so good in Euphoria!
Oh, wow. He sees clips from Spider-Man, the movie.
Uh-oh. And her real-life boyfriend from Spider-Man is just kind of just...
Yeah, just twisting.
Like kicking
it.
The air and just twisting his
Tom
script.
Holland, no, switch the channel. Oh, nice.
I feel better now.
Oh, she can dance.
Hey, Paul Atreides, snap out of it, you motherfucker,
says yeah. Granny Halleck, slapping Paul hard across the lips and cutting himself on those cheekbones.
Oh, my gosh. They share a passionate glance at each other, and they think it's a moment of will they, won't
Should
they?
We?
They won't. And then they grab hands and start running toward the spaceship.
I'm coming to get you, humans,
says the gigantic sandworm. It's not annoying.
They fly away in the very last moment, and the sandworm devours the entire harvester. Just
whoosh.
Oh, that was a close call. Jeff Goldblum sits in the back, totally disheveled. You think they'll have that on the tour? Smash cut. It's night in the Atreides Palace at Arrakeen, the capital city of Planet Dune. We see three simpish Atreides guards standing outside the most important room in the base, the shield generator room.
Oh, well, I don't think anything bad is going to happen.
Oh, no,
here.
Definitely not going to happen.
Bad things never happen to good people.
Not the first day on the job. There's no way.
No.
We're all good people. In fact, the Duke bought me a new pacemaker, so my ticker will be good.
That's
oh
nice.
God, it's so nice.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fun being a rude mechanical in this story.
It certainly is. The three guards go down to Clown Town because some taser-like thing has just shot all of them in the heart.
Just got them all at the same time. Immediately killed them, all three of them.
Oh, they all wet their pants.
It was really embarrassing. The terrible way for to die.
Death
not
be
holding
not
a crisp
proud.
Knife, just shit their pants.
Yep.
Dead. Flash cut to the hall outside of Leto's room, and Leto is hearing this weird noise from what was that? What was that? Oh, security! I'm touching this like little piece of putty behind my ear to say that I need security.
Security's not listening to you.
Oh no! Oh. I thought I had more time. I literally just moved in. All the boxes are still in the corner. Okay, well, shout out Maybes. We never said that was her name, but the housekeeper, where are you?
Blech.
Oh.
Follow your nose.
What do you mean?
It's me, the shout out Maybes.
Did you shit yourself too?
I'm about to.
No.
But the precious water in my shit must be collected and saved.
It's okay. I'll lap it up.
No, not yet. You,
oh, shit.
You dullard. Look, I got stabbed by a traitor in your house. His name is...
Oh, no, I myself am starting to get darted in the back. Before I heard this important news, I'm gonna... Hey, who do I see?
Darted.
It's me.
Oh, my God.
The guy who was fingering your son's ears earlier.
Bom, bom, bom.
It's
Dr. Yayo.
Yayo.
Oh, Dr. Yui, the traitor, has betrayed them. Yeah.
Smash cut. Whoop. Right to the spaceport. There are now Harkonnen ships flying over and bombing the Atreides spaceships. This is crazy. There is no escape.
It feels like they're just like space orcs just like landing.
Just
the clear bad guys.
That's way more Harkonnens than there should be. I wonder if they're joined by anyone.
Oi, it's me, Gurney Alec. And I'm gonna lead these troops against the invaders.
We could definitely kill all of the Harkonnens. That's gonna be totally fine. Oh no, what's this? Oh yes. The Emperor's elite soldiers, the Sardaukar, have shown up to help slaughter the Atreides soldiers.
I'm vocally different from the others. I'm a Sardaukar.
Yeah.
All of us sound like this.
Yeah, if you take our helmets off, we're like this.
Sound like that. Gurney Halleck is this one.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
And so, accompanied by the Harkonnen ships, we shall destroy the Atreides soldiers.
They noticed that one of the hapless Atreides soldiers was live streaming that whole speech.
Hey, give me that!
They crush his cell phone and then decimate the Atreides troops on the field of battle. Oh, all seems to be lost. Oh. Smash wipe to the interior of the palace,
We see Dr. Yue in a remote corner of the palace propping up the drugged Duke Leto against a wall.
Oh, bro, you're heavy. Jeez, I don't think...
What's going on? I've been drugged.
Yeah, I kind of shot you in a dart with a dart. You saw that, right?
Why have you betrayed me and my family? We've always been kind to you. You had dental. What's going on?
Okay, let me explain. I really appreciate the dental, and I'm like really happy about that or whatever. I've never been upset about the Christmas bonuses. Okay, Let me talk.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, the Harkonnens are holding my wife hostage. My wife, Juana. You know her. You remember she was at the Christmas party.
Oh, Juana's a nice lady.
She is a nice lady, but the Baron took her, and they're using her as like a Barbie that they like rip off all the, you know, the legs
Jesus
off of and
Christ.
Shave. And
sounds like a Sid situation from Toy Story.
They're total Sids over there, okay? And that's what I'm saying. I had to betray you so I could get her out of this.
I'm losing my ability to talk, so I can't really say if I forgive you or not.
Listen, you don't have to forgive me. I never really liked you, but you know who I do like? Your son. And I'm gonna help you save him, okay? Listen, I'm gonna install a fake tooth into your mouth.
Hi.
It's a very nice tooth, okay?
Does it talk?
Yeah, I'm Toothy the Talking Tooth. Small technology in Dune has
made by the same Apple company.
Yeah, it has a kind of fun, serious quality to it. Yeah, so I'm here to help you get revenge on your enemy.
Exactly. Once you bite down on this fake tooth, it's gonna release a poisonous gas.
Oh, will it die immediately too, also?
Yeah, I'll also die.
Oh.
But my purpose will be fulfilled, killing human beings.
And my purpose will be fulfilled, dying, so that my son can then have a legacy.
Really selling it.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. Okay, if you bite it at the right time, you could kill the Baron, and he's the bad guy. I mean, I betrayed you, but he's the really big bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have no choice in the matter.
It's really, you're really not going to get up from this.
It's literally true.
I'm truly paralyzed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smash cut. To the ornithopter owned by the Harkonnens. Ooh, it's an evil looking one, and it has like those like mean shark teeth painted on the side, like a World War II fighter. That's how you know it's the bad
guy.
It's
like painted, like it's got like flames going around the side. Mm-hmm. It's like the bad guy in Grease.
The bad guy in Grease, John Travolta.
No, remember there was like the fight where Grease Lightning was going against the other car, that the other one was like bad, and it had like razors and stuff coming out of it.
Flamethrowers out of it. Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Were the bad guys. The spiked tires. Yeah, that's what this spaceship
spiked
looks
wings.
Like.
Yeah, they're in the wrong movie. They thought it was Mad Max. But anyway, the three Harkonnens assigned to kidnap Paul and Lady Jessica, two of them are flying the plane. One of them does not have the gift of hearing. They thought of everything. How is Lady Jessica going to use the voice on that guy? Also, they have Lady Jessica totally muffled up from the tuffle-up.
Paul looks at Lady Jessica, and her hands kind of come out of the ties, and they start playing rock, paper, scissors.
The ancient battle language of the Atreides, rock, paper, scissors.
With their hands. Hey, no games! I said no games!
Oh,
stop playing games over here!
One of the Harkonnens takes Paul's hand and gives it the lightest but quickest little rap.
Yow!
There you go, bad boy.
Ow!
Thank you.
I dare you to use that across my chiseled chin.
Oh no, we Harkonnens have been briefed about touching your chin and your emaciated little butt.
Oh man, you guys have thought of everything. You've been gagged my mom.
Please be careful, Paul. Be careful of the voice.
Now, sorry, Paul, what were you saying?
Remove the gag from my mom, bro.
Oh, right, I was talking.
Yeah. The Harkonnen struggles with this strange compulsion that the boy has put into his mind. You'll have to voice harder than that to get this Harkonnen to do anything. I'm a union man.
Release my mom!
The Harkonnen's head explodes, and a hard shard of skull fragment whizzes past, grazing the muffle on her, slashing the bonds, and she is able to do the voice once again.
Oh, thank God. All right. Yeah, it wasn't really the right way, so I'll just do it. What? Everybody, get us to safety.
Oh, no. The Harkonnen, who can hear, is hypnotized and begins flying the ornithopter towards safety. But the one who can't hear is like, something weird's going on.
Hey, what's going on over here? Kill him!
Oh! The one who can hear turns around and just snaps the neck of the guy who can't hear. Sorry, motherfucker. He tumbles him out into the dust of the spacey sky.
That's right. Perhaps you should have been more careful to muffle our voices. And because we can literally do mind control.
At this point, the pilot has noticed the kerfluffle going on in the back. And he's like, hey, stop doing that over there.
No.
I'm going to hit you.
No, just like I enjoy being vaguely British, I also enjoy defiance. And we shall escape.
Lady Jessica shoves her hand straight up the man's anus and rips his spine out. Well, I wasn't expecting that.
She starts eating it a little.
Mom, what's going on? What are you doing?
It's a Bene Gesserit tradition.
No, listen. This is our religious rite. Have a bite of it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Mom, I don't want
it. No, you are a Bene Gesserit as well.
Mommy, I don't want it.
You're the most powerful one. You're the boy. Mom. You can see the future and the past. You're going to bridge space and time.
Oh, no, there's a Harkonnen voice on the radio. What is it saying? It's saying the whole plane is going to go down. Ah!
Yes, Harkonnens, always one step ahead, have the ability to turn off a plane through the radio. The Harkonnen DJ shuts that plane down, lowjacks it.
Dump, 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 dump.
Oh, watch out for worms.
Worms!
The ornithopter crashes face first into the sand.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh,
and I think this is a wonderful time for us to take a brief intermission. What will happen to Paul and his mother? Find out 10 minutes hence.
Next time on Doom Z.
Yes, yay!
Hello!
Yes, they enter in darkness.
Returned.
Welcome back. I hope you had a good intermission. I hope you got to use whatever it is you wanted to use.
We used it.
We are getting right back into Muff Movies Live. Let's get down to business.
To defeat the Harkonnens.
Yes.
Oh my God, it writes itself. Yes. Okay, smash cut. The dining hall of the palace at Arakeen, we see the once mighty and daddyful Duke Leto Atreides now brought low. He is stripped nude as a baby.
I'm so naked.
Except
right now.
He's the fucking ripped in Oscar Isaac. So it's really not much of like a undignified thing because they're like, yes, take him, remove his clothes, and drape him sexily across the table.
Like this guy's showing off over here.
I look like a daddy, the David statue. You're the
opportunity. Would you?
Would you?
Would you?
Would you?
Well, guess who did? Baron Vladimir Harkonnen. Because naked Paul Atreides' eyes start to flicker back open, and even in his drugged state, he can see from across the long dining room table the corpulent Baron Harkonnen and his retinue of shitty fun time boys.
I'm eating so much food. I'm eating. The Baron's got food just like going down his mouth. He's just like eating, just like with reckless abandon as he gazes over at his cousin.
Yeah,
refers to him as a cousin. Hey, cousin, your fucking kitchen's great, man. I'm saying,
he's like licking his fingers and eating while he looks at his naked cousin who's draped sexily over the chair.
Yeah.
And you know, Leto just responds,
what did you say to me, cousin?
Baron Harkonnen, who in the books is supposed to be so big he can't move on his own and has these, like, repulsor bands, water wings of the air that let him, like, float around. They don't make...
Air
floaties. Air floaties. Oh. They don't make a big deal about that in the movie, and he's not that big in the movie.
No.
He just has a huge neck thing going on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he and his long moo-moo... rays straight into the sky.
Just appears through magic.
Yeah. And just there's a wah 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 hovers to get closer to the dude.
Like a Death Eater.
He gets like extremely close to his face.
If this were another Dune movie, I would be putting a tiny bit of spittle right in your eye.
Yayo, it's me. Yayo, Dr. Yayo.
Oh, here. Shit, it's Dr. Yue, everybody! The music comes on, and everyone in the dining room starts dancing and throwing up signs.
Ayo. Yes. So I did what you asked. I, the loyal Dr. Yayo, decided to actually betray the family that I've been working with for many years, so that I can finally be reunited with my wife. Remember the bargain, the deal? What's going on?
My wife. Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that movie.
Oh, you do remember, Baron?
But
remember
I don't remember exactly the details of our bargain.
I said I could be reunited with my wife.
Oh, you want to be with your wife, do you?
Yes,
hey,
I do.
You hear this, fellas? I want to be with my wife.
Guy over here.
Hey, Tom Hardy, come over here and tell him something.
Oh, you want to be with your wife? Then
yes,
join her.
Why are you taunting me? I have given up everything for you. Everything. Bring me my wife, please.
The big Harkonnen in the Bane mask puts his hand on Dr. Yue and snaps his neck.
Yeah. Then be with your wife, says the Baron.
And you can kind of just tell from Leto's body language, even though he can't say anything, he's like, ah, oh, this idiot. Ah, I just knew it.
He's clearly upset. The Baron kind of gets really close up on his face. He's just like, yeah, how do you like that, cousin? How do you like that, cuz? How do you like that? I killed your doctor.
Killed your healthcare provider.
You're naked now.
Yeah.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do about it? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
I can't hear you. What? Speak up, boy.
We do whatever we want because we're simps.
Whoa! Suddenly, Leto bites his tooth really hard, and then it fills the chamber with toxic gas so that he can kill the Baron. He's killing himself, but also taking the Baron out with him. And the Mentat, who it had very brief cameos in this movie.
Yeah. Piter.
Yes. Piter, yeah.
R.I.P. Piter.
And yeah. So that gas is filling up the chamber, and everyone starts to die immediately. And it seems that the Baron actually had a shield on as well that's like flickering red, so maybe the shield is working. We're not really sure, but we're smashing, cutting
woo
to a tent in the desert.
A tent in the desert.
A tent in the desert.
With Paul and Lady Jessica. Yeah.
They somehow managed to get out of their crashed ornithopter and erect us a tent safe enough to withstand the Coriolis winds of the planet Arrakis.
It's so sweaty in here. And oh my god, I have this weird feeling that my dad is dead. I have this feeling. It just came over me. It's actually, I noticed there's spice. There's spice in here. I'm starting to wig out a little bit.
Yes, sorry. I ate some gassy spice earlier and this. Whoop. There's a little spice leakage.
Oh, jeez. You know we're stuck in here. All the spices, all the gases, all the liquids. We're just soaking up in here. Hey, we can't leave.
It's just nature, baby.
Snort me.
Oh, uh-oh. Spice.
Snort me.
Spice, are you talking to us now?
Yeah.
Who are you talking to, Paul?
Talking to the spice, Lady
Put
Jessica,
me in your
Mom.
Body. I'll show you Zendaya.
What? Oh, God, please, give me Lady. Give it to me. Give me Zendaya.
Oh, son, it's like you're going on a trip.
Oh, I'm so sweaty. Oh,
yeah. Guess what? Paul,
yeah.
Here's this hot girl. She's gonna smile at you.
Oh my god. I have never known the touch of a woman other than my mom, I guess.
That's true. Your relationship gets kind of weird sometimes.
It's okay.
Anyway, look at this cliff. You're in battle. Warrior Fremen everywhere. They're killing the Emperor Sardaukar. Yeah. Look at this one warrior.
Spies,
oh my god.
What's going on with that warrior?
That one, his visor just slid up.
No.
Who is it? Does he look familiar?
It looks like it's
Me?
Yeah, but look at your eyes.
Whoa, they're all blue and stuff.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get addicted to me, the spice.
Oh, I like that spice stuff. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I feel myself coming too. No, no, spice, no!
Paul, snap out of it, boy. Snap out of it.
What, mother?
You were tripping balls.
Yes.
Tell me, what did you see in your spice vision?
I saw a religious order. I saw a war.
And your mom's pregnant.
And you're pregnant?
Paul?
I saw that you're pregnant, Mom.
When were you going to tell
the family?
How dare you, Spice? This does not concern you.
Spice reveals your secrets. To explain yourself.
Pregnant, no man.
I had a man. And what's my man got to do with me?
Pregnant, you ain't got no man.
Look, Spice. Spice?
You a hoe? We don't do that
Spice,
here.
Spice, I'm going to snatch you bald-headed if you don't shut up.
Okay, Spice is my girlfriend right now, and you need to respect
Okay?
She's the only woman I've ever known other than you, and she treats me good.
Could we maybe talk more about this jihad that you're apparently going to do on us?
Oh, yeah. A jihad.
I mean, it's in the book. They use that word.
Yes.
It's a touchy subject, but it's a thing.
Okay, listen here.
Mom?
Mother.
Okay.
Okay? There's going to be a pile of burning bodies in my honor. I'm going to be the leader of an army, okay? And Zendaya will be there. Famous actress Zendaya.
Yes, we're all aware of who Zendaya is.
Is going to be there.
I'm sorry I told him you're pregnant.
It's okay, babe.
You're making me feel bad now.
It's all right.
Thanks, Spice.
Listen, you're my main girl until I see Zendaya in person.
I don't have a gender. Literally Spice in the wind.
And that's what turns me on about you, Spice.
How progressive.
That's what I like.
Smash cut to the open desert. Paul and Lady Jessica leave their tent, which was next to the crashed out ornithopter. Oh, by the way, in the interest of time, we're skipping a big chunk of the movie right now where Dr. Kynes and Duncan Idaho bravely sacrifice themselves to buy Paul and Jessica some time to live. Doesn't really do too much plot-wise except eliminate those characters who we barely touched on to begin
it's
with.
It's a lot of eye candy for us. Aquaman of it
they
all.
They both die very cool.
Jason Momoa. Cool.
Yeah.
They're so tan, which is nice.
Wow, that was an audience trigger. The trigger man.
Smash cut to the desert. Paul and LJ, that's Lady Jessica, exit their crashed ornithopter. Oh, well, we have to find the Fremen.
Okay, let's look for the Fremen then.
You can't just walk normal like.
Oh, why not?
Because there are like worms everywhere. You got to do this little disco dance.
Why are you moonwalking right now?
Listen, you got to do a little jig. You got to do a little dance so that it imitates the movement of the sand.
All right, well, I'm really good at dancing, so I don't know. I'd probably just vogue through this.
Yeah. They cha-cha slide their way up a hillside when Lady Jessica puts her bejeweled foot down and hears the telltale thunk of hard-packed sand, also known as drum sand. Oh no, that transfers vibrations much better than regular sand. They gotta run!
Whoa! The sand starts moving and it's a worm! They start running as fast as they can. Lady Jessica's front, and Timothy Chalamet's behind. She looks back to see her son, who's getting pursued by a gigantic, gigantic sandworm! The two of them are suddenly face to face with the gigantic, ginormous face of a big old sandworm. It's just got all kinds of teeth and stuff, and you can't help but think those teeth could be Chris knives as you look at it.
And just when you think our two heroes are about to die, you hear the steady of a thumper. That's right, someone set off a thumper device, and the sandworm really doesn't care that he has a precious little snack right in front of him, and he turns around and burrows away.
Yeah, I think that sound is a thumpy sound. I'm gonna go that way, I think.
Wait, Billie Eilish, I love
I've always loved a thumper, I have. Oh, for sandworm. Anyway.
Suddenly, the Fremen appear.
Ha!
Oh my gosh, they're everywhere. The two of them didn't notice.
We're not alone.
Atreides, that they're all around, just like kind of hiding in the sand and the dunes.
They come up from their sand holes and their sand walls and their sandals resorts.
One of them comes out of a TV, like The Ring. But there's no technology except for that one TV. And then there's a character named Jamis.
Yeah.
Jamis is kind of like the bad boy of the Fremen.
Mm-hmm. Jammin' Jamis is what they call him.
Jammin' Jamis comes out.
Jamis.
He's wearing a leather jacket. He's kind of smoking a cig. He's like, hey, we need to get all the moisture out of these two bodies. I think we should just kill these people
now,
immediately.
Don't be too hasty, friend.
Oh.
It's me, Paul Atreides, and my water is important, but I'm also a politician. If you kill me and my mother, we won't be able to free you from Harkonnen rule.
We're not gonna kill you, okay? Like, I wouldn't do that, and I'm the leader, by the way.
Oh, it's you, Stilgar.
Yeah, it's me, Stilgar. Obviously, this is my voice. What's his name?
No, it's Stilgar. Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem? I'm Javier Bardem before I was Stilgar.
You're Gar and Brooks.
I spit on your dad's desk earlier when I met him. We cut that.
Yep.
But
that was
listen,
a sign of respect.
Listen, Jameis, you can't touch Paul, okay? I want to adopt him.
I love to kill people.
Okay, so why don't you kill Lady Jessica? Because, you know,
she's
this
an old
woman's
hag
a, she's
who can't
old
learn
hag.
Anything now.
Yeah, but I could adopt this sweet little tiny little baby boy with a jaw like the peaks of mountains, okay? And I want him, and I want to train him. I really want to adopt this baby.
Okay, fine, Stilgar. Adopt the kid, and I'll just, like, kill this woman right now.
No, let me do it. I'm going to kill the woman.
Stilgar takes three steps towards Lady Jessica, and by the time his foot has touched down the third time, his pants are totally off, and instead of holding his Chris knife, he's got a banana in his hand. What?
Girl power. That's right. You thought you could, but you can't. It's me, Lady Jessica, again. And I'm here to give you the business. My weird Bene Gesserit power business.
Why didn't you tell me that you were a witch? Obviously, I can't fight you then.
Okay,
oh
well,
you
for fighting me so quickly, magic. I couldn't explain myself. I forgot. I'm vaguely British. Listen.
All right, whatever. I'll protect you then until you can return to the siege, and then we'll all figure it out.
What's a siege?
Oh, God, it's where we live. It's where we hang out, okay? Oh. It's like this big sprawling area underground. It's safe from the sandworms.
Speaking of siege, then comes sneaking up Chani. Thank you. You're welcome. Chani, played by Zendaya, and music is playing. Oh, hi.
Ha, 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 ha. I know this
much is true.
We're clearly falling in love because all I can say is that I think you're weak and stupid and that you're going to die.
And you're literally
soon.
The girl from my dreams. What are you doing after this?
Take this Chris knife and go die honorably.
Okay.
Paul takes the knife of his dreams from the woman of his dreams. He looks at it.
Get some coffee after this? Or?
When do you get off your shift?
He looks down at Dr. M'Benga from Star Trek, a.k.a. Jamis, the maddest Fremen available, who's just screeching at him from below.
I guess I'll fight this guy.
Yeah, I'm ready to fight. All I want is to kill somebody. I want someone to die needlessly. Someone has to die.
Oh, well, you can't kill me, so I guess Paul will be my champion.
What?
I'm going to kill this 15-year-old boy.
Right?
Fuck, all right, I'll kill this man for you, mother.
I don't know. You stepped forward. I just assume. I don't know. I have no one else here.
I did also assume that because you stepped forward that you were offering yourself as the champion.
Look, you guys, I'll do it. Okay? I don't like to create a reputation that I'm like, you know, the Duke who kills Fremen all the time with his bare hands. It's not a good look.
Smash cut to the duel where he's about to kill a Fremen.
Ding, 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 ding.
On the side, we've got a skinny, skinny guy who's in lots of movies right now. Boo, 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 boo. And on this side, we've got a blue-eyed bad boy who's ready to take it home for the Fremen.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, ding,
go
ding,
James!
Danny holds up a sign. We're starting the fight.
Paul Atreides immediately shivs Jamis in the balls.
Oh my god! I expected to win right away.
What the fuck are you doing?
Paul goes straight for the balls.
This is international politics, asshole.
I wear as what of honor. Oh, what of respect.
Right in the shy halud.
Stilgar examines his brother's balls. Well, it's not technically a fatal wound, and this is a duel to the death. So.
I still want to fight! I still want to fight, Jamis, even though my balls are exposed! Are
hanging on by a thread.
No, I still want to fight!
All right.
I want to fight!
All right. Paul goes and carves his anus out like a Halloween jack-o'-lantern.
No, I'm still going!
What the fuck?
I'm still going! I still want to...
What's wrong with you people?
Why is he toying with him? What is this, weirding woman? What is happening?
He's never killed a man before. He's never killed.
You've got to be kidding me.
I know. He goes straight for the balls, an asshole. But he doesn't kill. He's never killed.
Oh, man. This is embarrassing.
They look
just
over.
Kill me, for God's sake.
And Paul is stuffing fireworks into Jamis's urethra. Just like howling in agony.
Make this stop. Kill him. Just kill him. Stop it. God, this is hard to watch.
I can still beat you. I hate you.
I've got the high ground.
Yeah.
Jamis, in despair that this child will not end his suffering, just smashes his head against an N64 unit and finally dies.
He goes and creepily closes his eyes.
Good night, brother.
Holding his hands.
Please, that's Adarok!
Well,
I hope you're
proud
of yourself for killing someone.
You
killed someone, even though you had to, or else I would die. I want you to feel bad for killing someone.
Mother, I heard the voice of Marge Simpson telling me that I've become the Kwisatz Haderach.
Oh.
And that murder sets us free. Yes, I can do whatever I please.
Muad'Dib.
Well, I think that we should get on a fucking ship and get out of here. We've almost died several times.
Hell no, Mother.
Why,
we're
going
to hang out with these
me?
Filthy sand eaters.
Yeah,
what?
We only have spirit air, and like we really can't offer anything right now.
Oh,
it's all booked up.
No Virgin Air.
No, we don't have Virgin Air here. We literally only have spirit, and you guys came with a lot of luggage.
Yes,
so we can't.
On.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to accommodate that. And, there's a sandstorm coming. So, yeah, you guys are going to have to make yourselves at home for a while. Okay. I'm so sorry about that. You could call your credit card company to issue a refund, but unfortunately, there won't be anything we can do for you here.
Suddenly, the little Italian chef that's been traveling with them all along pops out between the heroes and says, well...
That's a spicy planet called Dune.
Ba ba da ba 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 ba. This has been Love Movies. Thank you, everybody, so much for coming out. Oh my gosh. You can stop singing. It's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, thank you, everybody, so much for coming to Otherworld Theater. Thank you, Otherworld, for hosting us. Thank you to Blake for being our tech person. Check out the Muff Movies podcast on the internet. It's a real podcast. And remember, if you can't muff yourself, how in the hell are you going to muff someone else? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ilsa and Kelsey. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You're too kind. Thank you for coming.
No, it was awesome.
It was fun.
You interrupted in the best way.